Well, one of the favorite attacks of the enemy is not just against what you do, it's against who you believe you are. Because listen, if he can get you to question your identity, he can influence your behavior. If he can make you feel rejected, what will happen? You will start living for approval. If he can make you feel condemned, then you just may stop coming boldly to God as God's told you to do. Come on, if he can make you feel ashamed, you may hide from the very one who can heal you. That's why pressure does not just come after your peace. Pressure comes after your identity. But if you are in Christ, there is an identity that no pressure, no adversary can steal. So, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are joining me today. We are in a series called Built Different. And so far, we have laid some great and important foundation for this series. We began with the truth from Colossians 1:27, and this is just to catch you up if you're just tuning in today, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And what we've learned is that Christ in you is not religious poetry. It is a spiritual reality. That means if you are in Christ, you are not just an improved version of your old self, not simply just patched up, a patched up better version, right? But no, you are a completely new creation. And the life of Christ is in you right now, working in you right now. How awesome is that? We looked at Jesus' words in John 15, where he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." We've learned that fruit does not come from pressure. Fruit comes from connection. You can scream at a tree all you want and tell it to bear fruit, but that's not going to change anything. It's connection. It is what makes the difference. And over the last few teachings, we talked about being built from a different source, that you cannot be built different while drawing from the same sources that are breaking everyone else, right? If the world is drawing from fear and approval and comparison and anger and self-effort, right? But Christ is your source, then your life should begin to take on a different shape. And today I want to move into the next major part of this teaching, because once you know your source, you also need to know your identity. Because if you don't know who you are, then pressure will try to tell you who you are. Culture will try to tell you are who you are. There's that old song, if you don't, or a saying, I guess, that they turned into an old country song. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know your identity, if you don't know your call, if you don't know what you were created for and who you belong to, then anything can come in and start telling you and declaring you who you are, what you belong to, your identity. So today I want to teach on this thought that the identity pressure cannot steal, the identity that no pressure cannot steal. The first thing I want you to see and know is that identity drives behavior. Identity drives behavior. You will eventually live out of what you believe about yourself. You will live out of what you believe about yourself. This is why identity matters so much. Behavior is not unimportant. But behavior often grows from identity. So if a person believes that they are worthless, what's going to happen? They're going to accept things that they should not have ever accepted. If a person believes that they are rejected, what's going to happen? They're going to spend their lives chasing approval. If a person believes they are dirty, they may stop expecting purity. If they believe they are powerless, they may never resist what Jesus has already given them authority over. So That is why the enemy spends so much time attacking a believer's identity. Because if he knows that he can distort how you see yourself, then what does he know? He knows how that he can influence how you live. And this is exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were already made perfect in the image of God. But what happened? The serpent came in with an attack that was really an attack on their identity. He said, in essence, if you just eat this, you will be like God. But listen, they were already created in the image of God. They were already like God. So the first entrance of the attack of the adversary, first entrance of sin, it was questioning Adam and Eve's identity and convincing them that they weren't something that God had already said they are. He created them, man and woman, in his image. So they were already created in the image of God. So the enemy tried to tempt them into reaching for something that God had already given them. Man, this is good. Why? Because if we know this, we understand that he still uses that same strategy today. He will tempt you to strive for what God has already declared over your life. He'll try to make you chase acceptance when you are already accepted in Christ. He'll try to make you earn righteousness when you have already been made righteous in him. He will try to make you prove your value when the cross has already established your worth. So the enemy wants to rename you. And one of the ways that the enemy attacks your identity is by trying to rename you. How does he do this? Well, he'll often look at your past. That's his favorite way. He'll look at your past and say, well, that's who you are. And of course, in your mind, you don't know your future, but you certainly know your past. You can picture your past. You've been in your past. And it's very easy to get somebody to believe that they are where they've been. They are who they were. They are what they have walked through. They are where they have fallen. Which again opens the next door. The enemy wants to call you by your failure or by your struggle. Or for some, he wants to call you what somebody did to you. Or maybe he wants to call you by the season that you are in right now. Maybe the business did close. Maybe you were let go. Maybe there's rejection in this season. And you're like, man, I certainly, you know, can feel the rejection. I can see the rejection. Maybe that is who I am. But listen, God does not name you by the worst thing that has happened to you. He does not name you by your lowest moment in life. He does not name you by the struggle you are fighting. He names you by what his son, Jesus Christ, has already done. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. We've been hanging around this verse. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This should be your favorite verse of scripture. Why? Because when the enemy comes in and says, you failed, you've messed up. That's why I love to talk about the biblical word for saved. It's the word sozo, spelled S-O-Z-O. And what it means is in the Greek language, we only have past, present, and future, right? Like either something has happened to you, it is happening to you, or it will happen in the future. So we don't have what this word sozo is in the Greek language, which is present progressive, right? So we have past, present, future. They have this present progressive, which means it's happening now, but it's also happening again. It's right now in this moment, but wait, it's in this moment again. It's not just past, present, future. It is now and progressive, present progressive. And what I love about that is if you think about the word saved, the word sozo, I am literally being saved in every moment. I'm saved right now, and you're saved right now. But wait, a moment has passed, but it's not past tense because you're saved now again. I love that. Why? Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I don't care how I messed up yesterday. I don't care, you know, where my shortcomings were. I don't identify with that. Why? Because of sozo. In this moment, I am saved now, again, and new. Don't judge me by what I was 10 minutes ago. Don't judge me by what I was yesterday. Don't judge me of how I messed up. Right? If I'm in Christ, and again, I frame this in the essence of true repentance, right? You can't do whatever it is you want to do and just say, oh, sozo, I'm being saved again. You are saved again out of repentance. So, you know, if I've messed up, if I've blown it, if I've lost my temper and I come back to Christ and I say, God, this is a struggle. I'm sorry. I've blown it. Make me better. Forgive me. Guess what? Sozo. I am saved again. In this moment, I probably shouldn't open this can of worms in today's teaching. Now, I'm not saying that every time there's an altar call, you've got to get saved again. No, you get saved once, and once is enough, unless you've rejected Christ and walked away and need to rededicate. When you come to Christ and you accept him into your heart and you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, you are saved in that moment. But what I'm saying is the salvation you've received in that moment doesn't just apply in that moment. It's present progressive. It's working in that moment and in this moment and in the moment you will walk into tomorrow. So when you have sinned and you have messed up, you don't have to come back and say, well, Lord, would you save me again? You have to receive by faith that salvation is working present progressive. And it's still saving, it's still redeeming. When I ask for forgiveness, it washes me and I become a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. And why does this matter? Because when I get that revelation and the enemy comes in, who is known as what? The accuser of the brethren, and starts pointing and saying, look what you did. That's who you are. That's your identity. That's your name. You're a failure. You're a disgrace. You're broken. You're damaged. There's no hope for you. And once you identify with who you are, no. Sozo, I am saved. I am a new creation in this moment. I am a new creation again. I am saved again. So I will not identify with a dead man. I will only identify with who and what Christ has said, I am. And if you are in Christ, the old version of you is not your truest identity anymore. You may remember who you were. Other people may remember who you were. The enemy may remind you who you were. But what has happened? Heaven has declared something new over your life. You are a new creation. The Bible says that when we repent and turn from sin, it is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never, 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 never to be remembered against you again. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, listen, that does not mean, again, that you never have to grow. Doesn't mean every old habit disappears overnight. But what has changed is I'm no longer trying to fight against who I am. I'm fighting against what isn't me. There's a teaching that we brought into our church several years ago, and it was called Unbecoming Me. And it was so powerful because the message of it is sometimes it's not trying to become something. It's unbecoming everything you thought you were that you're not. Right? So it's not me never having a battle again. It's me realizing that the battle is fighting or standing, I should say, in the true identity of who God has called me. And anything contrary to that identity, I push against. Well, you know, hey, you know, I have an anger problem. My uncle had an anger problem. My dad had an anger problem. My great, great, great grand problem. We're just fiery people. That's not who you are. I don't care what they were. I don't care what they did. You are a new creation in Christ. And being a new creation in Christ means you have a new identity, a new nature, a new DNA. So now, because I'm a new creation in Christ, I don't stand and say, well, this is who I am. I am short-tempered. I am fiery. I am. No, no, no. I'm a new creation in Christ, and that I don't identify with anymore. So now when the struggle comes, it's not me saying, well, is that really who I am? It's me saying, that's not who I am. That's the old me trying to resurrect itself. But the new me stands in full faith and agreement of who Christ made me to be. So it means the battle is no longer being fought from the same identity. You are not an old sinner trying to become a child of God. You are a child of God, learning to live from what Christ has already made true about you. And listen, that is why shame loves nothing more than to freeze you in the past. Shame is one of the strongest identity attacks. Guilt says I did something wrong, but shame says I am something wrong. Guilt will lead you to repentance, but why? It's that conviction of the Holy Spirit. But shame tries to convince you, like it did to Adam and Eve, hide from God, cover yourself. Conviction is powerful because it does not just point to what you did, it draws you closer to God. But shame is powerful because it doesn't point you or just point you to what you did. It tries to define you by what you did. It says you are what happened to you. You are what you did. You are what they said about you. And you are what you cannot seem to get over. You are damaged or disqualified, or you have gone too far. But the gospel answers shame with a stronger word. Romans 8:1, there is now for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to the verse. It does not say there is less condemnation. What does it say? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So under that revelation, when the enemy tries to accuse you and your memories try to accuse you and other people try to accuse you, you have to remember, I am in Christ. Condemnation does not have the final word. Jesus took my sin. Jesus carried my shame. Jesus took the judgment that I deserved. So now when I come to him, and I give my life to him, surrender to him, he doesn't leave me under that old name. But come on, he gave us new life. So when shame tries to tell you, you are still who you were, you answer it with the word of God. No, I am in Christ. I am a new creation. There is no condemnation over me. I am forgiven. I am not defined by my past. Christ has given me a new identity. And for other people, they don't struggle as much with shame as they do with approval. They live their lives in such need for other people to affirm them in order for them to feel secure. They need praise to feel valuable. They need agreement to feel confident. They walk around striving to be noticed so that they can feel important. But the problem is when approval becomes your source of identity, then what happens? People become your masters. And then you start changing yourself to be accepted. You silence your convictions. Why? Because you don't want to face rejection. You start performing for other people instead of living honestly before God. If you struggle by asking yourself these questions, what will other people think before you ask yourself, what has God said? Then you may be under that bondage. That's why I love what Paul said in Galatians 1:10, for if I still pleased man, I would not be a bondservant to Christ. You cannot please man and Christ at the same time. So don't let people's opinions carry more weight than God's word over your life. Now, listen, it doesn't mean that we don't care about other people. Doesn't mean that we become rude and stubborn and unteachable and, you know, we refuse to, you know, acknowledge other people. But what it does mean, it means we refuse to draw our identity from human approval. The Father's love has to become stronger in you than other people's applause. God's acceptance has to become more settled in you than people's reactions. Because if your identity rises and falls on what people think of you, pressure will always be able to move you. But come on, this all changes when you know who you are in Christ. You can be overlooked and still secure. You can be misunderstood and still steady. You can receive correction and not collapse. You can celebrate someone else's success without feeling threatened. You can obey God even when everybody else does not understand. And that is what secure identity does. I think Paul gives us one of the strongest identity verses in the New Testament in Galatians 2:20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This verse is not just about what happened to Paul. This is the reality of every believer. The old you was crucified with Christ. Man, I could preach today. The old identity under sin has been dealt with. The old life that was separated from God has been brought to the cross. And now it is Christ that lives in you. Listen, it doesn't mean it erases our personality. It doesn't mean it removes your uniqueness or that you make less of yourself. It restores you to who you were always meant to be in God, not what the world put on, not what your parents put on, not what the educational system put on, not what culture spoke to you. It erases that and said that old sin nature is done and dealt with and put under the blood of Jesus. And now you are who Christ really designed and made you to be. You are built different. The real you is not the person that sin destroyed it or distorted. The real you is the person Christ is revealing. This is why transformation is not pretending to be someone else, not behavior modification. Transformation is learning to live from the new life already placed within you. So when pressure comes, it may try to pull an old reaction out of you. We've all fallen guilty of that. But come on, you can stop and say, that is not, Father, forgive me. That is not who I am anymore. I don't have to respond like that. I don't have to respond from fear or insecurity or from my old nature. Christ lives in me. And there is a different life available to me now. Pressure tries to make you forget or has a way of making people forget what they know. what happens? We can hear a great message on Sunday and feel full of faith, right? Come on, I can move a mountain. I can run through a troop with that old skit song and leap over a wall. I'm in the Lord's army. And then Monday, pressure hits. And suddenly you are speaking like you have never heard a promise from God. And that's why identity has to become more than just a sermon that you enjoy. That's why we come to you Monday through Friday, because we were trying to remind you. It has to become more than just inspiration, but a truth that is rooted in the core of who you are. Because pressure will always ask questions like, are you really loved? Does God really see you? Are you really called? Are you really that new person, that new creation? Are you really going to make it? And in those moments, you need more than just emotion. You need revelation. You need the word of God anchored in your heart. You need to be able to say, I know whom I have believed. I know I am in Christ. I know there is no condemnation over me. I know that I am accepted in the beloved. I know I am a new creation. I know Christ lives in me. I know he's perfecting that which concerns me. And I know that because Christ lives in me, what have we been saying? I am guaranteed to experience the manifested excellency in my life, not because of my own efforts, but because Christ lives and dwells and is working right now on the inside of me. So pressure may challenge my identity, but it will not change it in Jesus' name. Why? Because now I live from my new name. I love this thought that throughout scripture, when God wanted to mark a person's future, what would he often do? Change their name. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon became Peter. Why? Because God was calling them to live from a new identity. And it was almost a natural way for him to shift in their thinking that I'm not Simon anymore. I remember Simon. I remember Jacob or Sarai or Abram, but that's not who I am anymore. Why? Because Christ gave me a new identity. And many of us need to stop answering to the names that God never gave us. He never, and I'm not saying you have to go out and rename yourself today, but he never named you rejection or failure. He never called you weak or forgotten or unwanted or late or not enough. Those may be the names that pain gave you or that people gave you or you gave yourself, but they are not the names that heaven gave you. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are chosen. You are accepted and loved and righteous and a new creation. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You are more than your past. And listen, the more you agree with what God says, the less power old names have over your life. So in closing today, because I got a little girl over there who's bouncing in her jumper, but she's about done. Today, I want you to ask yourself, what name have I been answering to that God never gave me? Have you been answering to shame or rejection or failure or fear? Do you see yourself through the lens of what happened to you or what somebody spoke over you years ago? Today, let the word of God speak louder. If you are in Christ, you are not who shame says you are. You are not who fear says you are. You are a new creation. So let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person watching or listening today. Thank you that we are in Christ and we are made new. Thank you that our past does not have the final word. Thank you that shame does not have the final word. Thank you that people's opinions don't have the final word, but your word has the final word. I pray for every person who's been living under a false name. Every person who's been carrying rejection or guilt or condemnation, insecurity or approval addiction, let the truth of your word break those lies today. Help us see ourselves the way you see us. and live from that new identity in Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on Good Morning Live. It is always my pleasure and honor to be with you. And I'll be back with you tomorrow as we continue to open up the Word of God together. Let it change and inspire us. Now, remember, as always, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.